Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill three contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Wednesday, the 10th of September, 2025. This is episode 378. Damon, let's wrap this up. Let's fly through this. There's fuck all happening in New Japan. I want to watch a new episode of Alien Earth. That's some good entertainment. But yeah, no, there's nothing going on this week.
That's good news, I think, right? No news is good news. I will say that I did see some of the feedback for our show with the great Fraser, who my spell check misspelled his name, putting him into the description. He made sure he let it be known. Yeah. Well, you know, listen, they were like, there's no possible way it can't have, doesn't have an eye. And they popped it right in there and I didn't check it. So my bad. But that was a great show.
You even added his Twitter handle into the show notes.
Yeah, I did.
Where you spelled his name correctly.
Yeah, I spelled it correctly there, right?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Well, I probably just copied and pasted, to be honest with you. It's not going to go off the top of my head. Again, it's just my proofreading, my error there. That was on me, so I do apologize. But again, the feedback that I've gotten so far has been overwhelmingly positive. That's always a good thing.
Fancy that. I mean, having Fraser on your show and then asking him things about stuff that he is knowledgeable about and letting him talk about those things. It's a groundbreaking
wild
concept.
It really is. It's like putting drumsticks in Jimi Hendrix's hands, you know? Like, give him the guitar. He might do good at that. But yes, he is very just... Sometimes I'm like, you know what, dude? You're too smart for me. Like, you know what? I'm an idiot.
Intimidating to talk to. I'm like, oh, you're so much more clever and successful than me. I'm right. Nobody. I'm just a piece of shit on your shoe. Thank you for coming on my podcast.
Right. I mean, well, I told you the first time that I met him, we were at Yano's bar, and again, we were just kind of having a great time, and he comes up, and he was dressed in this sharp suit, like tailored beautifully, you know, and he's very fit, and I'm like, yeah, who the fuck's this guy?
Because I'm a wrestling fan, you say, no, you're fucking not. Don't.
Right, right. Don't There's no possible you. Way. Right, right. Hey, and he's like, are you Damon? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, and he hands me his business card. And I kind of, you know, again, I had a couple in me already. And I didn't even look at the fucking card. I just took it and, you know, put it to side, and which is a faux pas. And, he was talking, and you know, he's like listening to the show. I was like, "Oh, why don't you say sit down?" But he was again. He was running beers all night. We were like, because the way he was sitting, we were like on the little couch thing at Yano's, and you know, his chair, he could just get up and go. We were like, "Ah, right, go get some more beers." He was young boy. He was young boy Frazier. But then I might have been Mackie or somebody was like, did you see his card? And I was like, no, I mean, I have it around here somewhere. And I was like, whoa, that's a pretty fucking big job title. I was like, what do we do? But he was awesome. He was very cool. And again, everybody he beats, he charms and dazzles, and now he's running that fucking on. I mean, what a life he's living over there. I mean, seriously, there's a lot of stress, mind you. He's running around with his head cut off sometimes, but what a life over there. What a life. So I'm glad we were able to tap into his knowledge a little bit.
Also tapped into the knowledge of our good friend John Carroll. So John and I did a little show on the Patreon yesterday talking about traveling to Japan for Wrestle Kingdom. So if there's anyone who's doing that or on the fence, check it out. It's a good listen. Mostly us just sort of talking about food for like 40 minutes, but it's good.
I swear I was sitting here not more than 2 hours ago thinking, would that be a good idea for a Patreon? And then you did it. So that's perfect. Got the excellent. Like, you know, how do you get there? How do you, you know, what are the best places to go? Areas, all that shit. Yeah, that's perfect. $10 tier, right?
Yep. Or you can buy these episodes individually for like just like $3 or $4 or something. But why would you do
nice.
That?
Nice. I know. Right. Just do the month and get everything good.
Someone paid $3 to listen to get early access to the show we did with Frazer. Now, I know it was a good episode, but I can't get my head around that. That's extraordinary to me.
Well, you know, $3 versus 10, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I would think $10 would be the easier. You got it for the month and you get all kinds of goodies. And not only audio, but just so much fucking shit. The vault. I'm going to throw up in another year, I think, and of goodness content. I got it. Never mind. I'm doing 9 things at once. But yes, that is a great idea, and I'm glad we did that. And $10 tier. I think you should all get on board if you haven't already. But if you're listening to this right now, you're already there, right? You're already $10, right?
Correct. Yeah, if you're listening to this live, then you're the smartest person in the room.
Yep, I would agree. I would agree. Besides us, of course. Yep. We're dumb. All right, where do you want to go today?
Kenny Omega's going to Japan. You see that?
I did not. Who's he wrestling for? Is it the DDT, or is he? He's not doing any New Japan.
Not anything announced, but he's been kind of written off AW and taking some time off for surgery. I think he's going over to Japan to get some stuff done, which has led to some speculation that maybe he might make an appearance at the old Shinnihon.
Maybe he's just going over visiting friends. I don't know. It's like, I'm kind of on the fence because, truth be told, I feel like he still has a lot in the tank, but then I question, does he? You know, and you know, is the juice worth the squeeze and blah blah blah? I don't know. I don't know if Kenny Omega is the answer to our fucking problems. I think our problems are internal, and I think we have a sloppy shop, and we need to clean that up first before we worry about maybe bringing in a Kenny Omega that, quite honestly, is it going to do one or two shows?
Make everyone look bad. Make everyone look bad. And also act as a Trojan horse to poached talent for AEW. So that's what happens. He comes in to New Japan. We're like, yeah, Kenny's back. And he has a sick match with a New Japan guy. We're like, oh, this rules. And then the guy had the sick match with gets signed by Tony Khan. We're like, oh, it happened again.
Right. So, all right. You know, personal preference. I'm good not having him on a New Japan show right now. Or for the foreseeable future. You know,
would he be a viable opponent for Tanahashi's retirement match?
No, I don't want that. I don't think that would be. I don't think that's what the people want. I could be dead wrong, but I don't think that's what the people want. I think they want a Japanese guy. I would think. I would think that's their number one get would be a Japanese guy. Against Tanahashi, and again with some history, and I think it's between like a handful of people. Now, again, we talked about the ridiculous prices of ringside seats. You would think it would have to be a super big name. You would think, but I don't think Kenny Omega is that guy.
How about Naito?
You know, that name keeps coming up, and I said it a couple weeks ago that I wouldn't be surprised if it was that. And I think he has enough name recognition that could be a thing. And he's been away, so there has been time to have the heart grow fonder. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on a short list. Let's put it that way. And again, it's not like there was a ton of public bad blood. You know, there was probably little jabs and little what have yous. But I don't think it was like a falling apart where it was, fuck you, no, fuck you. It was more of, we're not giving you this kind of money, dude. You're damaged goods, and we appreciate everything you've done. How about this? Nah, I'd rather stay home. Okay, there you go. So I think it's a name that's worth, let's put it this way. I would be shocked if somebody told us he's not at least on a short list of people that they want.
Do you expect him to be wrestling at Wrestle Kingdom?
I would say that's a good question. I mean, he's not going to do anything else but Tanahashi, right? Like, they're not going to put him on the show in some fucking tag match. He's got to be the opponent for Tanahashi if he's going to do anything, right?
Yeah, unless it's just a way to get Bushi back in the company so
great.
He and Aaron Wolf can do some sort of fried chicken eating contest. Like, I know Bushi's got a chicken shop, hasn't he? And I've just been watching Aaron Wolf's latest video where he's gone to his favorite chicken, his karaage joint, stuffing his face full of
he's got to put on weight. He's bulking. He's bulking. He's cultivating mass is what he's doing.
You know how some athletes, like, when they retire, they just, like, overnight just...
Oh, yes. Yep.
Because yep. they're not training anymore, and they're just like, fucking finally, all I want to do is eat. I'm not sure this dude's taking it seriously.
I mean, he's getting the calories, that's for fucking sure. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if they want a fucking a fried chicken endorsement, they can call me. I'll be more than happy to fucking do that. Because right now I'm in just about as good shape as Aaron Wolf.
Is there some sort of Fammy Chicky mascot? You've had Fammy Chicky before.
Yes, I have. Absolutely. Yeah, isn't it like just like a chicken, like a cartoony chicken?
I've done a Google image search for Fammy Chicky mascot.
Oh Jesus!
I found a picture that's making me laugh a lot, and I'm going to send it to you. And yes. I think this should be Aaron Wolf's opponent, debut opponent at the Tokyo Dome.
All right, there it is. Oh wow, that's perfect, actually.
This character running circles around the wing, and Aaron Wolf's like trying to chase him and grab it.
Oh, fucking Bugs Bunny kid. Yeah, you got to tweet that. That's got to be it. Be like, opponent sorted. Yeah, that's pretty good. Actually, the costume was really fucking good. That really, I mean, you would think it was just a gigantic piece of chicken. It's a really good costume. Well done, Family Mart. Well done. But you, all right, so you see, like, on the left-hand side, up at the top where, you know, you have the Family Mart, that's the logo I'm thinking of. Like, isn't that the chicken logo I'm thinking of?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's when you said that, that's what I pictured. I know all these people listening right now are like, well, what's the fuck's the picture? So you got to tweet it up pretty soon. Because nobody knows.
Could I just tweet it out with no comment?
Oh, I mean, I think we got to take it. We got to take our shots where we can now, Joel. Can't, right? We gotta put, like, you know, fucking Aaron Wolf opponents sorted or whatever it is, or I don't know, but something along those lines. You come up with the witty line, my friend. But yeah, that picture has to come along with a little jab at old Chicken Boy Aaron Wolf.
Oh dear. Yeah. That's that. But like, I can't do it, Damon. I can't. I watched this show. I watched the whatever it was, the
YouTube God, yeah, Nagata,
Blue Justice.
Yeah,
168 gimmick. Mm-hmm. I can't. I cannot, in good faith, stretch that out to the entire podcast episode. I can't do it. It's.
I know.
I'll talk to you. I've got bullet points here from what I've watched. There was some stuff that I enjoyed, and. Here it is.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Fire away.
First of all, I want to talk about Masatoru Yasuda.
Okay.
Made some. He's talking a lot about Tiger Mask, saying he wants to wrestle Tiger Mask one-on-one, wants to do better than him. Mm-hmm. Some people have interpreted that as him potentially taking on the Tiger Mask gimmick.
Hmm.
So I'm going to piggyback a question on that. Wrestling History X says, will the Tiger Mask be passed on at some point? And will they make a new anime to go along with it? And Aramatha says, is the next Tiger Mask currently in the dojo? So I think it would be a shame if it is Yasuda doing the Tiger Mask gimmick, because he's got this really angular face that reminds me of, like, the really polygonal characters from the original Virtua Fighter arcade game. So putting that behind a mask would be a shame, just for my own personal amusement. But do you think there is any value in passing that on?
I'm going to give you a solid depend. And what it depends on is if the company, you know, in like a week, two, maybe a month, maybe two, you know, they'll take it very seriously and then, yeah, they'll just lose interest in it and he'll be just be a fucking mid to lower mid card guy. Now they could make it something special. I don't know, like, I feel like Tiger Mask is a thing for a lot of old heads, like a lot of people who have watched for years and, you know, have a soft spot for the Tiger Mask gimmick and what it represents. I don't know if that necessarily connects with anyone other than longtime watchers of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like, even if you got in, like, you understood the lore and you understood, you know, the history of Tiger Mask and what it was, but I don't think anybody is like hitching their wagon to that and, like, you know, is going to be heartbroken when this version of Tiger Mask retires. I mean, I'm sure there's people that enjoy him and like him, but, like, it's not this massive thing. And, you know, he was a cultural icon back in the 80s. I can't imagine them going out of their way and rebooting an anime series over it, but, you know, stranger things have happened. Again, I just don't know if it has that, like you're not going to do this to try to connect with kids and new, like, are you? Cause I think the kids would just be like, I don't know, what the fuck, huh? Who cares? Like, it was a different time back then in a, like, a totally different country. It felt like, so I don't know. I, like, sometimes I wish they would put things to bed and just let it lie. If they feel like they can make a buck off of it, they'll reboot it. But I don't know. I don't see the value in doing that, because what is this version that we have right now, is that Tiger Mask 5 or 4 or 5? I mean, how many fucking versions do we have between New Japan and All Japan? A lot. Like, I don't know. I think that ship has sailed, quite honestly.
Yeah, I feel like if you have confidence in yourself to be a star in New Japan, in pro wrestling, that you'd feel that gimmick would put a very firm ceiling on what you're able to achieve.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it takes a while for you to build up enough stock in being good at being Tiger Mask to then not be good at, you know, and not be good, but not be Tiger Mask. Because I would think that's the end game, you know, but maybe it's a good way to kind of hide people, so to speak. I don't know. It's an easy thing for New Japan Pro Wrestling to do. Like, it's an easy thing. And dare I say, it's a little bit lazy. And they're banking on people kind of hopping on the nostalgia train. And I just don't think the audience there gives a single fuck. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see them doing it. Like, again, we have to kind of get out of the mindset of this is a bad idea, so New Japan won't do it. Or this is a good idea, so New Japan should do it, because like those days of logic are long gone now. We're in the era of Don Farley challenging for singles titles, so don't think they should. I'm not going to be outraged if they do it. I'd be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if they want to keep the legacy, the lore of that character going, yeah, maybe do a little anime tie and maybe make him Tiger Mask double like Ibushi was or whatever. It's for the kids.
I can't imagine though, like Bushiroad. Yeah, Bushiroad investing in that though. Do you see Bushiroad saying, okay, here's, I don't know, whatever, how much it costs to create an anime series? We'll just throw out a number and say ¥1,000,000 or something. I don't know. I don't think Bushiroad's like waiting to write that check anytime soon.
No, like maybe some sort of tie-in with an existing product. Because when they did the Tiger Mask double anime, that wasn't... I could be talking up my arse here, but I don't think that wasn't created by Bushiroad, was it? That was a pre-existing thing. They just do a little tie-in together.
I think you're right. And also, Liger wasn't a New Japan thing. Like, that was a separate anime company. They had, like, if you always... Like, there's a lot of things with licensing and shit that they always had to have the creators of, I forget the name of the Liger anime, that had to be included in a lot of the marketing and stuff. So it was always like a weird thing when it came to New Japan and that relationship. But the good news is that like they have plenty of experience navigating those waters, so they could do it. But again, I just don't know if the people would give a shit. Like, honestly, I know that everyone knew that latest incarnation with Ibushi was Ibushi. Like, everybody, nobody in the fucking Tokyo Dome, you know, didn't know that was Ibushi. But
and he tried so hard to disguise it as well.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it's like I don't know. I can't imagine.
It's like, Kaito, are you gonna do any sort of signature Tiger Mask moves or Tiger Mask double moves? Nope. Doing my completely normal Kota Ibushi moveset.
Right. That is true. That is exactly true. So, all right. You know, look, we'll see what happens, but I'm not holding my breath for that.
The other thing I'd like to talk about is the debut of the Knockout Brothers, which is Yuto Ice. He's probably the only thing I like in New Japan at the moment. And I don't know if you see the match. And this is only a 9-minute six-man tag match, so it's not a huge amount you can extrapolate from it, but I love Yuto Ice. He's my favorite now. Immediately, he's just got that swagger and charisma. Like, he's walked out the second he made his re-debut with a fully formed gimmick, and he I think he looks incredible. It's like a sort of zebra themed like Guy Fieri looking motherfucker, and he's out there doing like sort of like the ghetto Flavor slang channel. Like big up and the bomber clap knee. He said bomber clap before he did a knee. Like, there's already so much character and color and flavor to the gimmick in one match. That I think all of the young guys who've preceded him, that like more than they've managed in years. Like, we're approaching 3 years on Roughneck Show to Umino. Got no idea what that character is. He's right. Got no idea what it is either. And, you know, you could say the same for Heatstorm Yuya Uemura. Like, what the fuck is he talking about half the time? I'm the son. Like, okay, mate, of course you are. But look at this. Look at this, like, 90s rap star Yuta Ice with his bling bling saying big up and saying bomber clap before he knees someone in the face. Like, you see him, you see Yuta Ice for 5 seconds and you're like, yeah, I got it.
This yeah, you works. Know
I love it. Yeah. And I really think there's, you know, I've been moaning for years about New Japan not pushing and elevating the young guys and not giving anyone that big push. And like, clearly there's some sort of disconnect there. And something is to be said for making yourself undeniable. Like, don't smile and nod and do what you're told and wait for your turn, because it might not fucking come. Yeah. And, you know, just comparing it, I see later on in the show, backstage comments, there's Shota Umino and Yuya Uemura standing together doing a little promo backstage saying that they're going to lead Hontai, smiling like a pair of fucking dorks.
Right.
I think maybe I'm starting to identify the problem here, when you, on the other hand, have guys like, to some extent, Tsuji and Yuta Ice and Daiki Nagai coming in saying, fuck the rest of you. I'm the big boy here. I'm the top dog. Everyone else can eat shit. And that, yeah, there's something very charismatic and appealing about the Yuta Ice character, even though I've only watched him wrestle for 9 minutes, that excites me. And look, this is not me saying like Yuta Ice is going to be future world heavyweight champion. He might be, but I just wish some of the other guys who are probably more talented wrestlers than him and have the, you know, the matinee idol good looks and all of that would take a leaf out of his book and just show a bit of fucking charisma.
You know, I'll give you 1,000% credit for that. Like, and I think you're 1,000% correct. But I think the biggest problem with that is that the bar is fucking low. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. This thing hasn't connected with me at all. I watch it and
you're
I'm like
late to the party though, Damon, aren't you?
I am.
You'll come around to it like when it becomes good. Like,
yeah, a year and a half. I'll mark my words. I'll be there. I'll start to slowly swing around. But right now, it's like this is kind of goofy, but okay.
That's the appeal though. Like, I love that it's goofy. Right. Goofiness works for me.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it's not for necessarily it hasn't connected with me, but. You're right in the sense that he's fucking going to the deep end of the pool here. Like, he's not fucking about with it at all. Like, he's committed to it, and that's refreshing. And that is a thing that not a lot of, like, you could go down the entire fucking roster. And Joel, there are a lot of people that would fall into that fucking category of, come on, figure it out. Again, if this is the thing that we're most excited for, we're in for some fucking dreadful times. But it is, if he can figure it out, then why the fuck can't you guys figure it out is really the biggest question. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it does inspire people. It gives people a set of balls and gives people, you know, the one thing I do find refreshing, though, is you don't have to be either the Western, well, I'm a badass and I'm going to fucking beat the shit out of you, or the humble, I'm going to give it my best for the fan. You know, like, there are some cookie cutter fucking characters in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he does stick out. He does stick out. Now, again, whether it's good or bad, that's for another fucking show. And that will probably be weeks to months away. But at the very least, you got a guy who's, okay, this is what I am, and get fucking used to it. So that in itself is refreshing.
I like Oscar as well. He looks like a very large post-excursion Switchblade Jay White. But the same thing I would say to him, which I say to a lot of the tall wrestlers who preceded him, and it's the thing that I think it was what Gedo was famously said to Lance Archer when he first started, more monster.
Yeah.
That's it. It's that simple. Just more monster, please.
Yeah. I would agree. I would agree. Don't try and work like a fucking junior heavyweight. More monster. Correct. I would absolutely 1,000% agree.
Would you belt them up immediately? Because obviously they got this match with Taichi and Ishii coming up.
I think that's the route they're going to take. I mean, again, they're not running roughshod over New Japan Pro Wrestling, but they are. Here's the thing. You would think that they are set up to take the titles and run. And with the tag titles, they are a little bit looser. They are a little bit less stringent of debut match. You're fucking losing, right? I wouldn't be surprised if they belt them up right out of the gate. Why not? As much as we giggle sometimes about the tag titles, because they were, you know, there are times where you're just shaking your head like, oh my God, who are the tag team champions? It's kind of like there are times where it can be fun, and there are times where, you know, they sort of take those titles seriously. They could have fun with it. Why not? Yes, belt them up. Why not?
It's not exactly a high bar to clear, is it, being a heavyweight tag champion? So I just feel the message it would send out if they don't win would be like, okay, we're not taking these guys seriously at all.
Right.
And that's that's no diss on Taichi and Ishii. Like, I love the team, and they could definitely do more with them. There's more juice in that orange, but
But they're not your long-term answer, though, you know? You know, they're not going to be your long-term answer. With these, with a new fresh face, they could be a longer-term answer. G.O.D. made a fucking career out of it, you know? I mean, why not? A lot of this has to do with the wrestlers making the titles important. I would like to see what they could do. It's the tag titles. It's not, I mean... 3 years ago, we probably could have said it's not the world title, but now the world title's lost a little bit of its fucking shine. Again, I don't think I think anything's on the table at this point. So I would say, fine, go ahead, do it.
Clark Connors was also in this match. You remember him?
Oh, I think so. He had. He's not in the bar. He's not beating up bar patrons anymore. No more. All right.
It's Wheel Sand. It's a big Wheel Sand one. I think the genesis of Wheel Sand is exactly the point where you can pinpoint where Clark Connors mentally checked out of New Japan for wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a matter of time. I think it's a matter of time with anybody who's not Japanese, and even then, it feels like sometimes it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. I think. I don't know. I don't think. It's not like he's wearing it completely on his face, but yeah, I think it's just a matter of time, to be quite honest with you. Let's put it this way. I don't think he's in any rush to sign any New Japan Pro Wrestling deals anytime soon. I think he's like the prisoner with the calendar just marking off the fucking days and saying, you know what, fuck this noise, I'm out here.
Yeah. Of course he's got his other half. Tekla working in AW, so yeah, good luck to him. Other thing I wanted to touch on, Hiromu, he won the GHC junior title in Noah.
Crazy.
I mean, allegedly this is the point where us as New Japan fans with zero sense of irony are supposed to be going, aha, yes, this is great when we go to other promotions and big brother them and take their titles.
So is it?
I don't give a shit. I have no interest in this. I'm sorry to Noah fans, but I'm just, when I heard this, I was just like, okay. I mean, I do have concerns about Hiromu. He's been quite outspoken about his, what was all that shit he was saying after Forbidden Door? And that seemed to be a clear shot at New Japan leadership. I don't know who that was specifically aimed at, but this is clearly a guy who is not satisfied to simply be spinning his wheels as a junior heavyweight in New Japan. He's done some heavyweight tag stuff. He's had some heavyweight single stuff, which has been to mixed results. But like, you remember that amazing match you had with Henare towards the end of last year? Yeah. So it's clearly a guy who is interested in being more than just a junior. So
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Okay, but how do you do that? He's another one. I wouldn't be stunned to see him going to AEW as well.
Right, but and here's the thing too. I think, quite frankly, I think that's like if you want to do more than being a junior, because it's quite apparent that New Japan is not going to move you up. Like that's crystal clear because he's been given, it feels like, a couple dangles of the carrot with that, and it's never turned out. Again, like Kushida, like constant others who have whispered, some louder than others, that, okay, I've done all I can do. What else is there to do? Am I going to wrestle fucking Ishimori for the 117th time? Am I,
Yes, that's what he's got lined up.
Right. But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, so, you know, that's my future. Like, I only have so many years on this body. it's pretty banged up. I kind of want to do other things, and if that's where the money is, that's where I want to be. Like this seems like a scenario where, like, okay, no one's going to budge, so it might be best for him to look elsewhere. And the idea of him winning Noah's junior title, I think, is kind of a good thing, because at the very least he gets newer, fresher opponents. Still junior though, and it's not like he's making a ton of money. You know, I don't know what he would demand to be working Noah shows, but whatever it is, I'm sure he would get more if he were a heavyweight. I mean, that's just the lay of the land. So if that's AEW, it's not like he's not familiar with the States. He lived an hour and a half away from me. So it's not like he's not familiar with at least the East Coast. I think he would do fine. And again, hopping on board with an AEW, okay, that seems like there's plenty of guys that can kind of, you know, acclimate him to the surroundings, and he would fit in just fine. But he's not going to be a heavyweight at New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like I think that's abundantly clear at this point, unless there is a massive change in the philosophy of the people who run the show. And I don't see that happening anytime soon. So if that's what he wants, that's where he's going to have to go. I mean, I don't see any other option. Now, again, is he settling for a little fun at Noah? Yeah, I'm sure he can do what he wants when he wants. Yeah, no problem. You know, as long as his check's clear. But if he wants to be a heavyweight, it's not going to happen in New Japan's watch.
No, and that would it. Like, if they let him walk without kicking the tires on that, that would feel like a massive fumble to
me. Yeah, I mean, there's so many of that, but and here's the thing too. Like, I think people felt that way a lot of times with a lot of the guys that were junior heavyweights that either became heavyweights or left. Right? Like, if you think back to all the names that were once juniors, there's a ton, but it always seems like there's this more so with juniors than it is with heavyweights, where they have this continuous fresh crop of talent to come in. But yeah, I mean, look, you don't think he's looking at, like, again, different build, different size, but still follow along here. You know, you don't think he's looking at an Ospreay, a Ricochet, even to a certain degree, Kushida, and what they've been able to do, you know, elsewhere. I don't know. And I was going to say Kenny, but I think that's a completely different situation. But I think you get my point, where you see that there is a certain glass ceiling with when it comes to being a junior in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you can still be important, and you still can be an important part of the card. But you're, you know, certain time of the year, yep, absolutely, we're going to focus on the juniors. But the overall grand scheme of things, you're not going to be a top guy unless you're a heavyweight. It's just the nature of the beast, unless you go somewhere where those lines of heavyweight and junior are blurred. And that's here in the States.
This could just be insane speculation from me, but with Naito and Bushi walking as they did and Hiromu saying this stuff, like, it feels like there might be something to the three of them kind of shopping themselves out and being like, hey, do you want us to come to your company as, you know, the original, or, you know, yeah, like the original LIJ, and someone like Tony Khan being interested in that. Like, I could see Naito and Bushi and Hiromu going to AEW and being a thing and being, you know, reasonably successful as a sort of undercard, mid-card act. I could definitely see that happening. But Trios champion or ROH or whatever you want. I think there's a distinct possibility in that, and I'm wondering if New Japan are sensing that as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of important decisions for the New Japan management to make in how they handle these negotiations with Hiromu and Naito, and to a much lesser extent Bushi, because I would say the three of them, that has some value to an American audience.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, and again, let's keep him. And again, we're talking about Naito like he's under contract. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. He left because, you know, primarily because New Japan didn't see the value in Naito the way that Naito thought he, you know, should be compensated. So, you know, when it comes to dates and it comes to money and it comes to all of them, pecking order on the card and his spot in the roster, like all of that, like, there is only one other place that would be interested in him that would be able to pay him. Like, he's like the idea of them showing up in Noah or them showing up in All Japan or them showing up on fucking a Freedom show or whatever the case may be. That is laughable because they don't have the money to pay him. AEW is the only place that has it, and they have enough name recognition that I think it would be, again, AEW's found ways to fumble other things, mind you. So I don't know if I have 100% confidence it would go over without a hitch, but like, name me another spot where they could slide in and make an instant impact like they would at AEW.
And also not work very hard.
That's true too.
They could completely phone it in, and
yeah,
I still think there'd be some juice in that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, imagine that, them showing up and laying fucking, you know, some big names out. That would be pretty interesting. I'm not going to lie. But again, it's who's got the check that's able to do that. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending upon how you fucking look at it, that's good old TK. And, you know, not a lot more. Like, WWE's not interested in that. Like, they're not. And if they were interested in that, they would just be totally fucking repackaged into fucking Kai and Tai 2025, you know? Some fucking horse shit like that, you know? But
imagine the three of them coming out with, like, full Shogun cosplay gimmick.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Medieval samurai.
Whatever, you know, stereotypical 80s Japanese heel thing you want to come up with. Yep, that's what, yep, good old Hunter's going to slap on them. Yeah, in this day and age. Yeah, AEW's it. If there is any plan for a comeback, a long-term comeback, like, I feel like that's the best destination. That really is the best destination. And I say that with not an ounce of remorse. Like, I think that's good for everybody. Good for everybody.
Yeah. New Japan needs to kick up the ass. So I'm not saying all of these things like, oh, terrible Tony, how dare he do this? Like, this is market economics. It's always been like this. Can be frustrating when, as I've expressed before, when wrestlers who have yet to fulfill their potential or even come close to telling their stories in New Japan have their stories, dare I say, sabotaged while they're still under contract. That's annoying. But there's some cases where guys might leave and you think, yeah, you know, fair enough. One such case, I'm going to throw one at you here because I want to talk a bit about Zack Sabre Jr. because he had some nice moments on the show. He's wrestling against Ren Narita in a tag match. It was a 10-man tag match. So they've obviously got a title match coming up and putting a lot of effort. Like for a 10-man tag, they were working pretty hard. Zack was very fired up and I think is going to go out of his way to try to make Ren Narita look good. Zack is also taking a hell of a lot of independent bookings in Japan. It feels like a lot more than he usually does. He's got, it feels like there's like bucket list stuff being ticked off. Is Tatsumi Fujinami? He's got a match coming up with him, if I'm not mistaken. Did you see that?
The Dragon. I didn't.
Yeah. So that's a tradition on November 14th. Amongst a whole host of other things that he has been doing and will be doing. Now, again, it could be me talking utter shit here, but I'm wondering, is that him winding down his time in Japan? And I hate to sort of be all doomer on this. And I'm not doing this like, oh, everything's terrible, but that is another one. I could definitely see Zack leaving and going to, you know, potentially AEW. But weirdly, that's not one that I would be too upset about. And that's not because I don't like Zack. I think he's brilliant and I would love him to stay in New Japan. But he would be a classic example of how things used to be done with the foreigners in New Japan, where they would get to tell all their stories and win all the big ones. And then when you kind of run out of ideas for them, then right, then they go off to the States. So that, to me, Zack leaving would make complete sense. And I'd be okay with that because he's given everything to New Japan and he's told all his stories. He's wrestled everyone. He's put over loads of people. And I think it would actually make sense for him to move on to do something different.
See, I kind of think of it in a little bit of a different light, in the sense of there's lots of guys that have been full time New Japan guys that have done, you know, their little, you know, list of to dos, and this sounds like that's the case here. I think Zach has so much more and so much, like, he's a valuable piece. And I think that speaks more to the state of the company, in the sense of, here's a guy that, quite honestly, is a blue chipper, not even blue, like, he's established himself as a fucking guy and a star. And all he needs is just some fresh programs. And that's New Japan's fault for not having that supply of people that people would be clamoring and interested in seeing, and setting him up as a little bit more than a guy who's technically superior, right? Like, that's his thing. Like, there, like, give me the Tana, or excuse me, the Tana, oh my God, give me the Zach feud, that, like, the signature, that feud with, and that run, that program that he had. But the only one I can think of is Tanahashi, to be quite honest with you. That's the only one I can think of that was like a definitive this guy versus that guy series and continuation. But even then, that was more based off of who's a better wrestler. There was really not, like, I don't want to say a blood feud, but like what would be the stamp of that was Zach's run in New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, he's had been like a utility player up to the point at which all the stars left, and then by default, he became top guy in the company. I'd say the Goto feud this year is approaching something like that, because I think all of their matches have been outstanding. I don't know, does that count?
It can, but like the fact that we have to sit here and kind of like, oh, would that one fit into the bucket? I don't know. I don't think he's been, even though he's had runs with the world title, and even though he's had New Japan Cups, and, you know, he's, you know, he had that run where he was, everybody was fucking tapping out to him. Like, there just doesn't seem to be a definitive, like maybe maybe during like the G1 run where, you know, the fans were kind of, but that seemed like a blip on the radar though. I don't know. There's just hasn't really been a thing that has set him apart. Like he's had individual matches that have been great, but like there's not been like a signature. Here's Zach. It's been these pocket of great matches that in a bubble were great, but it, like, would you say that that's like, or maybe that is his legacy with New Japan. It's that he was the guy that, you know, had these individual great matches. I don't know. I think the one thing that's missing with him is the fact that there is not a lot of emotional attachment that people might have with Zach. Like, there's no reason to hate him. There's no reason to cheer from him other than you like him and he's, you know, he's got that fucking British wit and sense of comedic timing that people seem to enjoy. But, like, there's nothing there to say, okay, like, there's no emotional attachment. Like, you can like the guy, but I don't, like, I love him. I think he's fucking tremendous. I can't sit here and tell you that I have an emotional attachment to him. And I think that was like at one point there was, whether it's, oh, that fucking guy better get his due, or, oh, he better get, his revenge on that guy, or whatever the case may be. Like there hasn't been an emotional run with him. Like you would get with Tanahashi, or you would get with Okada, or you would get with Naito, or you would get with others where, you know, it's a little bit more than, oh, he's a really fucking good wrestler. And I got to blame New Japan for that, because you have a guy who is completely capable of having that. I just don't know if it's happened yet.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's just not a star like that. He's not got that.
I think he has it. Do you think he has it?
No, I think really? He's a 1B guy. I don't think he's a 1A guy.
Oh, okay.
My original question was, like, do you think he stays with New Japan?
Yes. 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 I think this is just a matter of him having open dates and checking off things that, you know, would be checklist things. I mean, look at the guys he's wrestling. I mean, if you're carting out Tatsumi Fujinami, that's just a thing that you want to do. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. We give plenty of rope to a guy like Despy to go roll around in barbed wire and glass. Yeah, why not roll around with a technical wrestling ace like Tatsumi Fujinami? It was, at least. it's just a checkbox thing, a to-do thing, a fun thing for him to do because he had an open date. And
what is there left for him to do?
Well, that's the problem, right?
He's won the G1, he's become world champion, he's main event of Wrestle Kingdom, he's worked like huge high-profile matches with Shota, with Yota Tsuji, probably going to be Aaron Wolf's debut opponent at Wrestle Kingdom. Like, there's nothing else left for him to do, I feel.
Okay. I mean, I think that can change in a heartbeat, though. Like, you can set up, like, it's the company's responsibility to have that talent. If you have that talent, then they need to do something with that. It's pro wrestling. Like, you're right. He's done a ton of shit. That doesn't necessarily mean that, okay, he's done a lot of stuff. There's no more to do. Like, there's plenty more to do. They just got to find the right people to do it with. Like, do I want to see him rolling around in the ring with, you know, I don't know. I don't pick a fucking guy. Like, he's rolled around the ring in just about with everybody that has come and gone. Like, just set up a fucking good program. Make people care about the program. He can have a great match with just about anybody. Except, you know, in a main event at Wrestle Kingdom. But you get my point.
I'm just trying to find out if he's actually wrestled Yuya in a singles match, because that would be the one thing that I don't recall him ever having done that, and I think that would be great. So that feels like a big match they've got.
Yep, I would agree. and Bolton, and again, Aaron Wolf. And I mean, I'm sure they got guys that, you know, they can groom. But again, I think the big thing is that the one thing that he hasn't necessarily done, and there's been attempts. I think the Goto thing was an attempt. I think the Tanahashi thing was a little bit of an attempt. But I want to get juiced up over it more than, oh, this is going to be a good match. You know what I mean? Like, we know he can have a good match. I want something with a little bit more meat on the bone, except, you know, than just, okay, this will be a match in a bubble that will be great. Like, I kind of want a little bit more juice on that.
Yeah. Well, it's like he's ticking off all three of the Reiwa Musketeers, isn't he? Because he's had his G1 final with Tsuji, he's had his Wrestle Kingdom main event with Shota, and now he's having his title defense against Ren Narita. I don't know. I'm feeling that he might be on one foot out of the door, but we'll see. The last thing to talk about from this show is we're getting a lot of juice out of this show. I didn't think we would, but we've managed it. The Hiroshi Tanahashi final road kinship match with Tanahashi defeating Yuji Nagata. 80 minutes high fly flow. I know, like, there's other people, you know, Chris Charlton, amazing being able to contextualize this and talk about the storied history they've had and what it meant to the company and the respective wrestlers when they were first feuding, and Nagata not quite getting his shot at being the top guy and being forced into doing stuff that he shouldn't have done, and all the MMA shit and the Inoki Azumira and not having a fair crack at the whip, and a bit of resentment there with having to put over Tanahashi. This is two, like, broken down men wrestling each other.
Thank you.
Not very good match. So I can't be like, oh, this was great because of all the history. It's two old guys, and it's not very good. Like, they worked hard and they slapped each other and got cross and everything. But this is the kind of fight that you'd see two drunk men outside of Wetherspoons in Newton Abbot on a Friday night.
West Ham versus Millwall.
This is terribly disrespectful, but this is just two old guys who can't go anymore. And it's a no from me, pal.
thank you, Randy Jackson. And I agree. Like, I incredibly appreciate Chris Charlton giving the history and dusting off the history books and giving us the significance and the really the impact of both guys and what they meant to the company. That doesn't mean that what I'm watching here is worth a hill of beans. Again, I appreciate, there's no one in this world that appreciates what Hiroshi Tanahashi has done for New Japan Pro Wrestling more than me, you, and the people who listen to this fucking show. Yuji Nagata, absolutely, 100%. And I think people appreciate that as well. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have this Matt classic on our hands. We didn't. We don't. I've said it last week, and I'll say it again. I cannot wait. Yes, I can't wait for Hiroshi Tanahashi to retire because I am tired of watching him go through these exhibitions on a man on his last legs. I can't wait. I just cannot wait. I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad that he feels the need. Like, and I know this is kind of built into every single pro wrestler's DNA of the need to go out there to perform. And trust me, there have been times where I have 1,000% appreciated that because he gave everything he can, and he still does give everything he can to get in the ring and put on a good show. But sometimes the body says, nope, fuck that noise. And that's what we're witnessing. And I don't want to see that anymore. Take the rest of the time off. And it's not like this retirement tour has been gangbusters at the gate. Like, again, absence makes the heart grow fonder. make appearances, sit at ringside, be the president, Wrestle Kingdom, have your last match, make it grand, make it a spectacular thing, give him the flowers that he deserves, but enough with this fucking retirement tour. It is breaking my heart.
Yeah, I totally co-sign. I'm desperately need New Japan to do something radical and exciting to rekindle mine, and I'm sure plenty of other people feel this way, our passion and love and excitement for this company. And Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Yuji Nagata is not it. And look, like, you know, this wasn't some kind of tentpole event that they
right.
went to do gangbuster numbers or something, but it's just, I can't get excited for this. I cannot muster any kind of enthusiasm for it.
It's really, yeah, it's like the party that never ends. You know, this is the party that it's 4 a.m. and it's like, will these people ever go the fuck home? It's really where it's at. Because at midnight and 1 o'clock, this place was jumping. Like, we were having a ball. Well, unfortunately, the fucking E is worn off. And, you know, and now here comes the great come down. So enough's enough. Let's fast forward to the fucking dome.
Right. Well, that's all I've got on my notes. We can preview upcoming shows. So what have we got coming up by the time we next record? So we have a show coming up more than I've ever said it before in my life. Friday, we've got Shinichi Champion Presents event at Korakuen Hall.
Great.
So there is a Kojima and Honma commentary match. We've got Murashima, Yoshihashi, Yuji Nagata against Shoma Kato, Yano and Makabe. Then there's a masked battle royal. Then there's Shinichi Champion versus House of Torture. So Wato, Despi, Oleg, Tanahashi against Dick Togo, Kanemaru, Ren, Evil. The fourth match is a handsome battle rumble. Fifth match, and I think this is the main event, is the Generation Crash with Taguchi, Taichi, Ishii, and Zack against Fujita, Oiwa, Yuya, and Shota. That's not doing anything for me. Then we've got Korakuen Hall on Saturday, Road to Destruction, which is headlined by Never Openweight Six-Man Tag Championship match, where the champions, Wato, Yo, and Yano, are defending against Taguchi, Despi, and Tanahashi.
God damn it.
Me. Then Monday is Battle Line Hokkaido in the Nippon Engineering College, Hokkaido College Gymnasium Arena.
Yeah.
And that is the famous show where I had a mental breakdown, and that's headlined by the No Time Limit Trio Tagged Singles 2 out of 3 Falls match with Taguchi, yeah, Despi, and Tanahashi against your great Bash heel team, Honma, Makabe, and Yano.
Yeah.
I've got nothing. I have nothing to say to preview any of those matches.
No one on God's green earth is sitting here saying, "Ooh," and rubbing their hands together, licking their chops, like, I can't wait for that fucking weekend. No one.
The other mind is, Damon, it's our friends over at WeWork Stiff.
Yeah.
And God bless them. Like, they are very good at finding interesting stuff and, like, narrative threads to pull on where I often see nothing. they've got on hiatus. They've got nothing here. So when they're not putting out a podcast, I don't know, there's nothing to talk about here.
I mean, what is there to talk about? Like, what possibly could anyone, like, I don't care if they're fucking broadcaster of the year. Like, there's nothing there that we haven't said for every one of these guys 1,000 times. Like, do you need to feel good that much to have this feel good match? And is it that much of a feel good match? Like, it's not. I don't know. Here's the problem. Now all I'm doing is fucking moaning. So what's the why?
Yeah,
why?
It's been a very rainy show. And I really wanted to. I didn't really want to. No, that's a lie. I'm abandoning that.
You really did. You want to? You really did. You wanted to.
I wanted to. Yeah.
Are you gonna watch it? Are you gonna watch this next day, or are you watching it live?
Oh, fucking hell. No. Friday, I'm going out with my dad to see famous comedian Stuart Lee.
Ah, look at you. Nice. That's a nice way. Give your dad my best. Always a pleasure. This is one of those, you know what, if we're going to review it, let's set out the bat signal and see if we can get somebody to fucking review it. I dare you. I triple dare you to say, okay, we want a review and we want a 5-minute review of this show. And throw it out there on the Discord and see how many fucking takers you got. Zero people are going to be like, yep, sign me up. I don't care if they have like these visions of podcasting fame and fortune. No one is going to sign up for that. I fucking dare you to do it.
I would much rather do the bonus audio with Fraser talking about the Christmas turkey versus Hiroki Goto feud.
That's pretty good. That's a good show right there. I would have him on and be like, all right, what did you have to go through to get this fucking onsen set up? Like, that's what I want to know. That's the fucking content I want to hear. Damn right. All right, so what
we're both really cross with ourselves for not talking about the Xmas turkey thing on the show we did last week.
I know.
Both of us genuinely want to do a bonus episode devoted entirely to talking about the Twitter feud between Cotto and Xmas turkey. It's really good. It's layered. It's a decade in the making. It's genuinely good storytelling.
Oh, all right. Well, why don't we do this? We'll be like, all right, here's our review of the Cork and show. And then we just jump in, Dan edits in the fucking turkey time. Turkey going over you. That'd be great. That'd be the biggest swerve there is. What do you want to do next?
Nothing. Look, I said, peeling back the curtain, I said there's nothing to talk about this week, so why don't we do a mailbag episode? And I went to the effort of compiling all the questions in the backlog, putting them in a Google Doc, with the checklisting, so we could both have the doc open. And I said, like, oh, we can each choose questions that we're interested in and then tick them off the list. I can't be bothered. I don't want to do it. I want to go to bed and watch Alien Earth. So.
Sounds good. That's fine to me. My wife's coming home soon. So, this one's short, tight, and sweet. How about that?
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.